sometimes things get real laborious and layered and complicated. Not today. There is one phrase, two words that the Apostle Paul uses when he's writing to the church of Philippi. I kind of missed it. I kind of blipped over it. And I believe the way God works with us sometimes is he just identifies a phrase until you can't not think about it.
You're not the only one that missed it. I've preached through the book of Philippians and never noticed it before. But this little phrase at the very first of chapter 1, verse 27, that famous phrase, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain," is right before this. And then he says, well, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And I that phrase just grabbed me.
It makes me think about a couple of days ago when Steve and I were together and we went and played golf, and a third guy got assigned to our little group. And then afterwards, we were going to have a beer together. And Steve, and this is typical of Steve, just asked the other guy, "You want to join us?" And I probably selfishly would have said, "No, I just want Steve to myself." But that's your heart. And then he started talking about his wife passed away. And that just struck me afterwards as, oh, this is one of those whatever happens moments. So it's not just a passive one. It's actually, no, whatever happens, I'm going to assume God's at work, and I'm going to look for, is there an opportunity to conduct myself in a manner worthy of the gospel? Hey, this is your day to shine. Paul said when he wrote to that church at Philippi that we have an opportunity as God is at work in us and through us to shine like stars in the sky. And I want to talk today to one of the shiniest people I know.
Don't talk about my head that way.
Steve Clifford is a very, very good friend. He was pastor of a terrific church, Westgate, where Nancy and I actually used to attend when we were up.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his wife, Dana, were actually just with us a couple of days ago. Overnight, we hung out. And he's one of those guys who impacts whoever he is with and is just kind of a walking source of spiritual encouragement and challenge in a really unique passage. And as we're going through Philippians, it was a cool thing because a couple of years ago, Steve, by the way, thank you very much for being willing to do this.
Honored to be here with you. You didn't mention that you beat me in golf, but thank you for doing that.
No, I didn't, but that's because I think you cheated on my score all over the place. So I think if Jesus had been golfing with us, I don't think it would have turned out that good for me. But there's a little phrase. So part of why I'm really excited for everybody listening today is, you know, sometimes things get real laborious and layered and complicated. Not today. There is one phrase, two words that the Apostle Paul uses when he's writing to the church of Philippi. I kind of missed it. I kind of blipped over it. And I believe the way God works with us sometimes is he just identifies a phrase until you can't not think about it. And this is one of those phrases. And Steve, it really hit you first and then me when you talked about it. So I asked Steve, would he come out and tell all of us about this? And I'll stop there. Steve, would you let us know about it?
Yeah, and you're not the only one that missed it. I've preached through the book of Philippians and never noticed it before. But this little phrase at the very first of chapter 1, verse 27, where Paul says, whatever happens. Now, he's in a section of the book, just to remember back where you've taken us through, John, that where he's saying, basically, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to live or die, if I'm going to get to see you again. It's that famous phrase, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain," is right before this. And then he says, well, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And I that phrase just grabbed me. And I started looking back through old speeches that use the phrase, whatever happens. You find it in Abraham Lincoln. You find it in Martin Luther King. You find it in everybody who ends up being in a bad spot.
You know what? We talked about it before, but I don't remember you saying that before. I don't remember you having looked up that phrase, you know.
Yeah, and it shows up. It's not a great phrase, to be honest. Like, whatever happens, we don't know. We're confused, and it's probably bad. But whatever it is, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy. Well, that phrase, I'm in a new season in my life where, I'm no longer leading a church, and I'm in this kind of semi-retirement thing that's going on, and I'm a little unsettled in it. And you and I have talked about it many times, John. And it was this great encouragement that, at the same time, my wife was sharing this phrase with me about, instead of worrying about trying to find opportunities to talk, live a life that has something to say. And that came out of a book. It's Dallas Willard is what it is. And Dana had reminded me of that. In all of this, I started getting this great peace of whatever happens. And then we added it to it with whoever's around. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy. And right there it says, stand firm, strive together, don't be afraid. And it just brought such encouragement to me, that whatever happens, I'm in God's hands. I'm his child. And because of that, then I can rest in that. It also reminded me, at about the same time I was working through The Critical Journey, reading that book, The Critical Journey, and it says in there at a certain place, he says, I've known the love of my wife. I've had the respect of my children. I've had the regard of my colleagues. I've had the pleasure of good friends. So whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy. And even as in my older age, as I move into this new season, Christ is with me in as strong a way as he's ever been, and he's going to do some cool things. Brought me great, great hope. Thank you for waiting.
It's very poignant when you say that. The Critical Journey is a book. It was co-authored. Bob Gulick was one of the two authors, and he was a New Testament prof. He was at Fuller back in the day, so I knew him. Brilliant man, and he died quite suddenly of a heart attack. It was very difficult for just adds to that urgency of I wake up in the day, I face the world, I think about what's going to happen, and I just tend to take for granted. Yep, I'll go through another day. I will live as long as I want to live. My body will work, my mind will work, and I forget the extent to which I am dependent on God. And my life, our life, hangs by a very slender thread. And what strikes me when you land on that phrase is when I get to the end of the day, and Nancy or whoever asks me, how did your day go? Usually I think about whatever happened. And
Right.
if good things happen, if something that I wanted to have happen turned out well, or the bill was smaller than I thought it would be, or the check was bigger than I thought it would be, or somebody, like, then it's like, oh, it was a good day. Something good happened. But if something I didn't want to have happened, then it was a bad day. And really, this is a real different way of looking at each moment and each day. In the deepest sense possible, it doesn't matter whatever happens. Because
Right. We're just called to be faithful. Right? Just be cognizant of the Spirit of God and the hand of God in our lives, and be thankful for the things that we have experienced to this point. But that is not a guarantee for how tomorrow will be. So whatever happens with whoever's around today, let me be a joyful representation of the grace that has been poured over my life.
And Steve, how does that end up working out in your life? Have you had any particular days when that especially made a difference? Anything that helps you remember it more clearly or causes you to forget it and need to return to it?
Well, just as a reminder that all of the details and orchestrations of what's going on, just recently, I had a friend who I play golf with on a regular basis, and I met him recently on the second hole of the golf course that I was playing, and he walked up to me just out of the trees, literally on the side of this hole, walks up to me, and I can tell something's wrong. And he said, I was just hoping I could find you. And I'm working on a house just up in the trees, and I saw you coming down the fairway. God sent you to me. My son just died. I needed to talk to you, and you're the only guy I can talk to, because he knew that my son had died years previously. And he said, you're the voice. God sent. And this guy's not a Christian. But he said, God sent you to me. And he just began weeping and telling his story. And you know, there was no plan. It's whatever happens. There's no way you could have orchestrated that on, you know, I'm not talented enough to orchestrate those kinds of things. That's a pretty extreme case. But I mean, those kinds of meetings that we think are just chance meetings, and perhaps God is actually doing some of the things that he says he's doing.
Well,
and he's orchestrating your life.
It makes me think about a couple of days ago when Steve and I were together and we went and played golf, and a third guy got assigned to our little group. And then afterwards, we were going to have a beer together. And Steve, and this is typical of Steve, just asked the other guy, you want to join us? And I probably selfishly would have said, no, I just want Steve to myself, but that's your heart. And then he started talking about his wife passed away.
Yeah.
And I could just see a little look in Steve's eye, and he kind of straightened up. And they talked a bit about, what do you do when you're part of a club that nobody wants to be a part of? And he's part of that club because he's lost his spouse. And Steve said, you know, I'm a part of a club like that because I've lost a child. I lost my son. And I want to tell you, part of enables me to live with that is that I'm a Christian. And just the when Paul writes about conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, and that sense inside your spirit of wanting to say that in a way that might offer hope, might be a little challenge to this guy. I mean, we've been together for 18 holes, so you kind of had a sense of the kind of person that he was, and a good radar for how do you talk with somebody. But it was just fascinating to sit there and watch you be able to connect with them, and then in a very natural way to bring Jesus into that conversation in a way that gives somebody else the opportunity to think about it and respond to it. And he made a little gesture at one point, kind of, you know, got to ask for help, where he was kind of signaling possibly an openness to transcendence or God or something. Yeah. And that just struck me afterwards as, oh, this is one of those whatever happens moments. So it's not just a passive one. It's actually, no, whatever happens, I'm going to assume God's at work, and I'm going to look for, is there an opportunity to conduct myself in a manner worthy of the gospel?
Yeah, I think when you challenge us each time as we're working through Philippians, this is your day to shine, go and shine. The truth is if I try to shine and manufacture opportunities to shine, that becomes a little bit narcissistic and egocentric for me. I now I'm trying to look like I can shine. You know, I'm just trying, where does my story and my journey of both joys and sorrows, where does that rub up against people, and how can I share it? Whatever happens with whoever's around. And it frees me up. It doesn't let me off the hook. I've still got to be looking. But it frees me up to shine in a way that God's doing it for me instead of me trying to manufacture it.
So, Steve, I'm going to ask if you would close this time, if you would just pray for the folks who are listening to us, and there'll be people where the whatever happens today may be pretty challenging. Maybe they're in a season where whatever happens is a pretty difficult one, and you know that club. So if you would pray for those folks to close off this time.
Yeah. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are intimately involved in our lives, cognizant of our thoughts and our feelings, our actions, in fact, orchestrating them in some way that where you go before us, allowing us to be able to do good works for you. And what an honor that is. So this day, whatever happens, whether it be in sorrow or joy, with whoever's around, whether it be close friends or people we've just met or haven't even met yet, may we conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the grace that you have poured into our lives. And may we be quick to tell of the grace you have poured over us through Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.
So there's your phrase today. Whatever happens, doesn't particularly matter. Whatever happens, this is your chance to shine. So go get to it. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
Thanks for tuning in here at Become New. We hope you enjoyed that conversation and that it gave you some things to think about and maybe even some practical application that you can put into practice in your own life, because at Become New, we're all about growing spiritually one day at a time, at becoming new from the inside out. One thing I want to let you know is that we are working on a new project, and it's actually called the Formation Newsletter. It's a newsletter we're going to send out every couple weeks to anyone interested in spiritual formation and what's going on in the world as it relates to spiritual formation, something John's really passionate about and he's spearheading. And so if you want to sign up to be a part of the beta group that's going to receive that newsletter, you can just go to becomenew.com/formation and let us know. And then we'll start sending out to you whenever we develop and dispatch those issues. Thanks for being here. If you want more resources, you can head over to becomenew.com. Catch you next time.